Good evening, everybody. You are tuned to KRFP Moscow 92.5 FM, and we're pleased to have the candidates for Moscow City Council in the studios here. Well, two of them. There are four candidates running for three open seats on the Moscow City Council, and tonight we have Art Bedke, who is the chair of the Planning and Zoning Commission for the City of Moscow, and former City Council member John Weber. They're both in the studios, and they're getting ready to take phone call questions from you, the listener. So I'll give you the phone number now, and then we'll have some opening statements, and then we'll start taking calls at area code 208-892-9200. So write down that number, 892-9200. Now, there are four candidates, as I mentioned, running for city council in Moscow this year: John Weber, Art Bedke, Rebecca Rod, and Walter Steed. And the four are running for three open seats on the six-seat city council, and the top three vote-getters will serve four-year terms. In Idaho, you don't have to be registered to vote when you show up at the polls on Election Day, which is November 5th, because Idaho does have a law that allows you to register to vote if you bring proof that you lived at your current address for at least 30 days. But Idaho does have a law that you have to show a picture ID or sign an affidavit that you are who you say you are when you show up at the polls. Polls will be open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Tuesday, November 5th, at the Latah County Fairgrounds on the east side of Moscow. Absentee ballots can be cast Monday through Friday at the Latah County Courthouse between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. until Friday, November 1st. And KRFP is broadcasting these live call-in candidates forums from our studios. We're going to continue with a series next Monday night with candidates Walter Steed, who's a current city council member, and Rebecca Rod. They'll be in our studios Monday next week at 6:30 p.m. And the candidates for mayor, incumbent Nancy Cheney and Bill Lambert, will be in our studios to take your calls Wednesday, October 30th. Also at 6:30 p.m. Each forum will last an hour, and candidates each have 1 minute to answer questions from callers. The call-in phone number, once again, 892-9200. City Council members Tim Brown and Sue Scott have opted not to run for re-election, and Council members Tom Lamar, Dan Karskalin, and Wayne Krause have 2 years remaining in their terms. So the winners of this election will be joining those three on the city council, at least for the next 2 years. The terms are 4 years. The Moscow League of Women Voters also will be holding a candidates forum tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at the 1912 Center, East 3rd and Adams Streets in Moscow. So we are going to start with John Weber's opening statement. There's 2 minute opening statements. So go ahead, John.
Good evening, folks. This is John Weber, and yes, I am running for a term in the Moscow City Council arena. I did serve for one other term, 2006 through 2009, so I've got a little bit of an idea of what goes on there. I have been a member of Moscow as far as a citizen for a little over 59 years. I went to grade school, St. Mary's school here in town, Moscow High School, the University of Idaho, and then went back for an MBA and got that in 1976. I worked for approximately 30 years in the beverage industry, left that, opened the Sears store here in town with my two partners. We ran that for 3.5 years and sold it. I tried retirement. That didn't work out very well for me. Didn't like it. So went back to work, retired again in May of this year, and decided that I was not quite done with the civic duty part of my life, which is running for and trying to be and being on the city council. I am a candidate that feels that Moscow needs to do a little bit more in the growth area than we have done in the past, and we can do that, I believe, without interfering with the quality of life that Moscow affords its citizens but we do need some more growth so that we can pay our bills, keep the services flowing that the people in Moscow are used to. And I just got the word that I'm done, so we will move on to Art Betke. And thank you very much.
Okay, yeah, when I hold that one finger up, that means there's 10 seconds left. And now we have Art Betke with his two-minute opening statement.
Good evening, everyone. Like John, I'm also a long-term resident of Moscow. I fetched up here initially back in 1972 to go to college, and subsequent to that, left for a few years and then returned in 1980 and have been here continuously ever since. And during that time, I've seen lots and lots of changes in Moscow. It's one of the constants we could all accept happens. There's always change. And over the years, businesses have come and gone. And what I've observed and would like to address somewhat is the fact that Moscow needs to diversify its economic base. Currently, we're a very fortunate community in having the University of Idaho here, which provides a lot of economic lift to the city that otherwise wouldn't be present. However, the university is proving to be kind of the main economic driver in town, and I think we very much need to expand and diversify our economic base. And by that, I mean less to do with retail and service industry, but more with basic fundamental manufacturing, light industrial things. And by saying industrial, I don't mean petrochemicals and pulp. I mean instrument manufacturers, ag processors, organic food processors, things like that that can actually manufacture something and bring new money into town. So with that, there are a whole lot of things the city needs to do to assure that our way of life, our sense of place is maintained, and that we don't dilute ourselves out and become a place that just has economics but not a quality of life that we've all come to know and love here in Moscow. So I would very much like to work on those issues and also some issues concerning expanding our city to make it more friendly to elderly and retired people by way of improving access, improving their ability to have helpers in their house through accessory dwelling units, and generally allowing people to stay in their own homes longer. I would also emphasize working with the University of Idaho to try to increase the number of students in town, which could only help everything else.
And that's Art Betke's opening statement here. And we'll give each candidate 1 minute to answer questions from the phones. You can call in more than once if you have more than one question. The phone number is 892-9200. That's 892-9200. And we'll look for the light. And one of the candidates is in the middle of answering a question or going through the cycle of the two candidates, then we'll sort of have your line on hold, and you'll be able to hear what's going on through your phone until we get to you as a caller. We might have two callers waiting at the same time, in which case we'll speak up and we'll respond to you, and you'll know that you're the one on the air. KRFP Moscow, the first question's for Art Betke. I'm going to go to my list of questions. Is the Southeast Industrial Park going to be light industrial?
I would hope light industrial, because we have no facility for heavy industrial. That would involve way too much infrastructure, road networks that we don't have, and a whole lot of issues with water. So what I'd like to see is a place for businesses to come to Moscow and have a home to set themselves down in. Currently, we don't have any industrial land zoned out for people to come and take advantage of, so we need to zone out some land down there in Southeast Industrial and probably also invest some taxpayer money in at least stubbing out a road to the first couple of lots, so that if somebody does want to bring their business to our town, they have a place to put down without having to go through zoning and platting problems that always occur when a new business comes into town. We've got to make this as easy as possible for people to be able to come in and do their business here.
Okay, that was Art Betke, and the same question will go to John Weber.
Well, excuse me, I'm getting over one of these colds, so the voice is still breaking up somewhat. I do agree, and at this point there is nothing on the immediate future for doing anything with the industrial zone just to the south of town. But we need to do something. We need to build a place that people will feel good about. We also need to have it set up so that what they need to do when they get here is well-defined. And if that means sitting down with the city staff and defining what they have to do, what they need to do, what the rules are, then that's exactly what has to happen. And the more that we can make this a situation where they know what's going to be coming next, the better off we are.
Okay, that was John Weber. Phone number is 892-9200. If you have questions for candidates for Moscow City Council, John Weber and Art Betke. And we'll have the other two of the four candidates here next Monday night at 6:30, and the candidates for mayor on Wednesday the 30th at 6:30 p.m. Okay, well, let's get to the economic development question. This will go to John Weber first. What are your comments on University of Idaho economist Steve Peterson's study on the Moscow economy that he announced the results of just recently? Do you think our economy is in as poor condition and as dependent on Pullman as he concludes?
Unfortunately, I do agree with most of what Steve said. And I'm using the fact that we have had no real growth in Moscow, no growth in the university in the last 10 years, and we have lost the last of our four new car dealerships just here recently, and none of them appear to be coming back into our town, so that's gone money. That's about $100 million a year that we no longer have, that we can no longer count on in our economy. And the same thing is true with the university. The university's enrollment has stayed pretty stagnant in the last 10 years, and we need to help the university improve that any way that we can. And if we can help them improve the number of students that they have going to the school, the things that Moscow can provide as far as housing, groceries, items up. Oh, I'm done.
Okay. And that was John Weber. And now Art Betke, the question, I'll repeat it. What are your comments on the UI economist Steve Peterson study on the Moscow economy? Do you think our economy is in as poor condition and as dependent on Pullman as he concludes?
Well, I take a little different perspective on this one. I don't think we are in as bad a shape as he portrayed us as being. He was very much university-centric in his analysis and comments, and I think he neglected the fact that some of the underperforming areas, rather than being underperforming sections of the economy, are actually opportunities for growth and further economic benefit for everyone. I would like to see the university increase the number of students that they have in there, and I would like to see some more of the basic manufacturers come on. As for the car dealers leaving, they're essentially still retail people, very expensive retail that pay a lot of taxes on the ground that they sit on, but they really don't keep a lot of money in town because the vast majority of that money is exported back to Japan or Detroit, where they manufacture the cars. The car dealers do provide some very, very good jobs for mechanics and people like that, but it's not the sale and end all. We need to broaden our economic base through industry.
And that was Art Betke. And the next question will go to Art Betke first. We have a caller on the line. KRFP, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys are talking about the economy. It's been kind of a pet peeve of mine, actually. A lot of talk about economics at a time when our world is faced with climate change. And so I guess my questions are to both of the candidates there is, one, if they believe that climate change is actually an issue, and two, if they feel like that it is within the scope of city council at all to involve itself in binding or non-binding resolutions having to do with issues like the Alberta tar sands and other real carbon-intensive economies that actually are destroying the future of the children of this earth.
Okay, and that question will go to Art Betke first, or slew of questions, I guess.
I'll try to hit as many as I remember. But yeah, climate change is a real thing that's going on. And I'm not sure how large a role a municipality like Moscow in North Idaho can necessarily play in larger global political arenas, but what we can do is set an example in our own selves by sitting here and trying to do what we can to encourage, for example, utilization of our agricultural products that are right here around our town. Why are we bringing in processed foods from far, far away when we're surrounded by wheat? Why don't we make our own cereals here? Why not take advantage of that industrial park and do some of that, make decrease the amount of transport that we have to do to get our agricultural goods, just produce this stuff locally? There's other things we can do just by way of trying to encourage urban agriculture here in town as well. And that's something that we've recently accomplished on planning and zoning to encourage people to grow their own food in their own backyard.
And that was Art Bettke and now John Weber.
I agree with Art that I do believe that we've got some climate change going on. I don't think that it is a something that is yet to be decided. I think it has been decided. I don't know that we as a city can have much of an effect on actually what happens in Canada. And I don't know that we actually should have any effect on that. We can make a statement saying that we are either for something or against something, but as far as making it a binding statement, I don't think we can do that. And as far as trying to increase the amount of local products that are produced locally and used locally, I think that's a great idea. And I think we can use the information and the skills that we have locally through the agriculture community to help with that process.
All right. Well, I'll do a follow-up. This is KRFP Moscow, 892-9200. If you have questions for these candidates, this will go to John Weber next. And do you expect a influx of climate refugees in this area in future decades? And how would the city deal with that?
I couldn't even begin to address that question. I don't have any personal experience in the geography of the situation, and I think if we do end up with them in future generations, since this is Moscow, I think that the future generations will deal with them as well as they can. I can't say much more than that.
Okay, that was John Weber. Now Art Bettke.
I think the possibility does exist that we might see an influx of people. From climate projections I've seen, the Palouse is destined to become more like a California climate. And California is probably headed the way of a Sahara Desert or something equally unpleasant. So I think we would see some people coming up this direction over the next 30 to 50 years. Problem is, what do we do with them and how do we support them without bringing ourselves into the same issues that Southern California suffers right now, things like water shortage? Where are we going to find the water for a bunch of new people who come into town? Also, how do we accommodate the housing, the roads, the bike paths, things like that? What do we do for all of those issues? And Moscow's been blessed with slow, steady growth all these years, and trying to accommodate a rapid increase could be very, very difficult for us all.
That was Art Bettke. The phone number is 892-9200. The next question will go to Art Bettke, candidate for city council. And we've got a caller on line one. So, KRFP, you're on the air.
All right.
Hello.
So, hi. I'm Paul McPoland. I work with Wild Idaho Rising Tide. And I kind of wanted to follow up the previous caller's comments a little bit. If either of you guys was to find yourself on city council, could we expect your support in stopping some of these megaloads from coming up Highway 95? As you may know, we had a couple loads sneak through town just last week. And they're obviously on their way to the Alberta tar sands operation, which the world's top environmental scientists have stated numerous times that if that operation goes into effect and is finished, then the climate is finished for the planet, and basically we have no air to breathe, no water to drink, and so what would you see your role as in the ability to stop these loads from heading up 95 or Highway 12 for that matter?
Thanks for your call. We'll go to Art Betke first.
A thorny question for sure. Everybody has a right to protest as they see fit. And the problem starts to come into the intersection between protest and legally allowed transportation of goods. I think US 95 has got to be less of an issue than Highway 12. Highway 12 is a twisty, windy road alongside a wild and scenic river that goes through the Indian reservation, and they've expressed their dismay at this going on. I think that may not be the best way to get goods back and forth across the mountains. However, US 95, being a US highway, has been designated that way for transportation of goods and people from one point to another. And I think there's very little that can be done from Moscow's point of view to prohibit or hinder the transport of megaloads up through town on US 95. So we may be limited in what the city itself can do.
That was Art Betke, and now John Weber.
I hate to say this, but Art covered that about as well as I could cover, possibly better. There's not much we can do. The Idaho Department of Transportation gives out the permits, and it is a U.S. highway. It goes through Moscow, and I don't see any way that we could actually stop it within the legal confines of the city and the things that we can do. As far as Highway 12 goes, that happens in another county, two counties away. It happens on an Indian reservation, and we, as the city of Moscow, have no authority and probably would have no effect one way or the other, even if we were to voice an opinion.
And that was John Weber, candidate for Moscow City Council. We have two candidates running for Moscow City Council in the studios right now, Art Betke and John Weber. There are four candidates this year. The other two candidates are Rebecca Rod and Walter Steed. And voters can vote for up to three candidates when Election Day comes, or if you vote in advance at the courthouse during business hours up until November 1st. The election itself is November 5th. And we're taking calls, 892-9200. I have a question right now, and this will go to John Weber first. We heard at the Palouse Basin Water Summit from Moscow City Public Works Director Les McDonald about a water rate study, saying we have to increase water rates in the city because of infrastructure needs. What sort of policy should the city have in ensuring there's enough drinking water in the long term?
I think that, I know this, that the water rates are, that's a dedicated fund. And so all of the money that the citizens pay for their water goes into a fund to not only keep the system as it is going, but to repair it in the future. And by using the water that we're using and maintaining the system and fixing the system, I think it is going to go up. I think the cost is going to go up. I don't see any way that it cannot. And as far as reducing the quantity that is used by the city, I think it would be a very good idea to make sure that our people are well informed about not using a lot of water, not using water that they don't need to use. But I can't see myself being in favor of restricting water use.
That was John Weber, and now Art Betke.
Yeah, I think the main thrust of this question is where are we going to get water for the future, seeing as we're pulling off of a declining fossil aquifer with an eventually limited amount of water in it. And so I think there's several approaches. One that's being accomplished very well is through conservation in this town. The amount of water used per capita has decreased steadily here, but you can only conserve so far before you absolutely run out of things. What you're left with is trying to find other sources, and I'm thinking that perhaps something like within city limits catchment basins to take care of some spring runoff and snowmelt and use that for part of the year to help take some of the pressure off the aquifer would be one thing. Eventually, we're going to have to examine the putting a reservoir up on the mountain and piping the water on down into town in order to just sustain any growth that's going on. And the other thing we can do is work with other municipalities in the area to see what we can do to get them to reduce their use of the aquifer as well.
And that was City Council candidate Art Betke, and City Council candidate John Weber is here, and I do believe we have another caller on the line. So, nope, that caller hung up. They were calling on the business line, so maybe they had some other business. Anyway, we've got another call here, so let's try this one. KRFP, you are on the air.
Hi, just to let you know, let me turn my radio down. not the caller who was playing before. I just wondered what the candidates would consider. I see possibly the need of raising the water rates so significantly to pay for the infrastructure and the new well they want to put in and all that. But what about a tiered water rate that would the super water users, the people who water their yard every night, a lot more for that extra water, which would not enforce but encourage conservation? I'd like to hear both candidates' comments on that.
Okay, we'll go to Art Betke first on that.
Yeah, I like that idea rather a lot because I see some people with emerald green lawns while mine is a lovely shade of dead brown. And I think we have a tiered system in place now, but I think it may not be a steep enough tiered rate to really discourage very much water use. And I would like to see that slope of increase made up a little bit higher. So super users are going to pay a lot more and, as in essence, help subsidize those who are very conservative with their water use. And I think that would, one, provide a means to limit water use and depletion of the aquifer and get the city's goals accomplished. Yeah.
That was Art Betke, and now John Weber.
I, too, have a brown lawn. I don't water my lawn at all during the year, and I don't know whether that's because I don't like to mow it or that I don't want to use too much water. I agree that paying for water to keep your lawn very green, paying more is a good idea. However, if we are going to do that, I think the city should fall under the same rules and maybe not water a lot of the city parks and things like that that they manage to keep as green as possible. That might cause more of a problem than it would solve, but I think the people that are having to pay a premium for their water might feel a little bit better about that.
And that was City Council candidate John Weber, and we also have Art Betke in the studio, two people who are seeking to serve the city of Moscow by serving on the city council. And there are two others who we've invited in for Monday night at 6:30 p.m. We're going to go another half hour here at KRFP Moscow. And we are going to take a quick musical break. It'll probably be about a minute and 30 seconds. So meanwhile, get on the stack and call in to our two phone lines. The phone number is 892-9200. That's area code 208-892-9200. And we will, for the next half hour, continue to take phone calls for these two candidates for Moscow City Council. There's also a race for mayor coming up, and we'll tell you more about that in a bit. So enjoy the music. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned. KRFP Moscow. And you are tuned to KRFP Moscow. It's about 3.5 minutes after 7 p.m., and we're down in the studios in downtown Moscow with two candidates running for Moscow City Council, Art Bedke and John Weber. The two other candidates are Rebecca Rod and Walter Steed, who will be showing up next Monday at 6:30 p.m. to also take your calls, and we are taking your calls. We want to know what listeners in the Moscow community have concerns about, especially when it comes to city government. And the phone number is 892-9200. That's 892-9200. And when we don't have a caller on the line, I'll go to my list of questions. But I'd really like you guys to call because that's why we set it up this way. Looking for the light and nothing. There we go. All right. KRFP, you are on the air. Line two, go ahead. And this will go to John Weber first.
Okay. Since there has been so much negative things in the paper recently, I would like each candidate to tell me why they live in Moscow and what makes Moscow a unique and good community. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And that'll go to John Weber first.
I grew up here in Moscow. Came here the summer before my third grade. And so living in Moscow is where I live. It's where I choose to live. It's a great place. It has got a lot of amenities that much larger cities have, but we're still a small town. We've got two universities. We've got all the cultural aspects of having two universities. We've got the farmers market for half the year, which is a real good way for people not only to buy their produce, but it's also a good way for them to mix and match amongst themselves. We have got a very involved community as far as what happens and that people pay attention to what happens and have opinions about what happens. Moscow is the place I chose to live in when I graduated from college, having lived here for 59-plus years. So I'm a Moscow fan.
Okay, that was John Weber, and now we got Art Bedke.
Yeah, like John, I found a lot of intriguing and wonderful things about our little village here. It's really a fun place to live. Part of it has to do with the fact that we have cultural amenities far beyond most communities our size, courtesy of the universities and the students who live here. We also have a very involved citizenry who get involved with volunteer organizations of all kinds, local theater, music, the farmers market. All kinds of things go on in this town all the time. Anybody who says they're bored and have nothing to do are not looking very hard. We also have the fact that people really, really do care about this community and want to see it grow, prosper, and be up and sustainable. I like the fact that people get behind issues like constructing more bike paths, separating bikers and pedestrians from motorized vehicular traffic. People are all the time about that. They support their sports. They support their schools regularly. And that's really, really important to me to live in a community like this.
And that was Art Bedke. I noticed I had both lines occupied in the hold mode. So if somebody got a busy signal just a minute ago, 892-9200 is that'll get you through to the station, and we'll put you on the air with questions for City Council candidates Art Bedke and John Weber here at KRFP 92.5, soon to be 90.3. And seeing none at the moment, the next question will go to Art Bedke first. And will the Joseph Street ball fields being built by the school district, partially with Moscow City money, be sufficient for the city's playfield needs in the foreseeable future?
Well, first, I'd like to expand that a little bit beyond the mere concept of playfields. We do need some new playfields because the ones we have are rather divvy and not the best in the world. And participation with the school district is a really good way to solve two sets of problems at the same time, the need of the school district for playfields as well as the city itself. The playfields that were destined to be down on Palouse River Drive, man, those things are looking like they're going to be forever out there and not likely to be developed soon. So we need something now, and this is a good means to accomplish that. But I would also like to see Parks and Recreation expand their vision away from organized sports altogether and into things like more casual recreation, smaller pocket parks, where people can go just throw down a blanket or toss a frisbee about. We don't need playground equipment or large swatches of green lawn for that, and I think it's something that we need to examine for Moscow's future.
And that was Art Betke and now John Weber.
I think that putting in with the help of the Moscow School District and the city of Moscow, I think that is going to solve some of the immediate problems as far as having play fields and ball diamonds. I agree with Art that getting the process going on the piece of property that the city has on the south side does look quite far away, and I'm not sure that even if the money were available, I'm not sure what would happen there. The only problem that I would have with the idea of the pocket parks is the increased cost of on the city, especially the Parks and Recreation Department, to maintain them, keep them mowed, keep them trimmed, keep them green. And that goes back a little bit to the water issue. So, but all in all, I think that what the city and what the school district are planning and doing are going to be a great help.
And that was John Weber. Phone number 892-9200, 892-9200. We've got two candidates for Moscow City Council. It's a six-seat city council. The winners will join Tom Lamar, Wayne Krause, and Dan Karskalin on the city council. And you can vote for up for three. Rebecca Rod and Walter Steed are also running. Okay. The next question will go to John Weber first. Now, the city of Moscow often increases property taxes by a maximum of 3% allowed by state law. Do you think that's necessary most years?
I think it is necessary in a lot of years simply because the cost of running the city goes up every year. The cost of gas, the cost of insurance, any number of other things that the city has to spend money on goes up. And if we don't increase the tax base and have more people sharing in the cost and bringing money into the city, then the only way that you're able to defray those costs or even pay for those costs is to increase the taxes by up to 3%. And if you don't do it one year, the next year you may have to do it 5%. And that would be one of the reasons that I am always banging on the drum of let's grow the economy here locally so that we can pay for the services that everybody has got used to and wants to keep.
And that was John Weber, now Art Betke.
Yeah, I'm not sure the city has often raised the tax rates. During the recession these past few years, the city has foregone tax increases more years than it has instigated any tax increases. And for sure, people make a lot about make the city government more like running a business. Well, like any other business, the cost of your inputs keeps going up. You're going to have to raise your prices. And into the city, that means you have to raise your taxes in order to keep the streets repaired, potholes filled, provide the services that people want. And if we don't raise the taxes, we're left with the alternative, which is to increase user fees to people like the participants in farmers market. The city subsidizes that somewhat substantially, and the vendors are not going to be happy if they have to foot the whole cost for it. And taxes are a way for the city to participate in that very worthy occupation.
Okay, that was Art Betke. You're tuned to KRFP Moscow, City Council Candidates Forum, 892-9200. And the next question will go to Art Betke first. And we have an urban renewal district in town called Legacy Crossing. It's one of two. Is that going to be developed into a successful business residential mix as planned?
I would love to just fire off and say yes. But what we need is to actually enlist the participation of our development community in this. The city is doing all it can, especially through the URA, to provide the infrastructure, the roads, the sewer, the water, the electricity, the communications networks that would facilitate growth and minimize the cost to developers. It's pretty much ready to go except for some brownfield remediation there. And what we need is just to get some innovative and forward-looking developers to front the money and initiate some projects in that part of town. But I think it would be hugely successful in linking the university and downtown together, not only culturally and socially, but economically as well.
And that was Art Betke, and now John Weber.
I think that we are a way off on doing that, even if the city is able to use the tax increment financing that it uses to put in infrastructure, roads, water, sewer, things like that. It's a large project, much, much more than 100 acres, and we do need to find some people that are willing to take some upfront money and invest it in our town. And if we do this, and if we make them feel welcome, and we make them feel that they can have something that they can rely on from the city as far as what is expected of them, what the city gives in return, I think we're going to have a much, much better chance of recruiting people to develop Legacy Crossing.
And that was John Weber. KRFP Moscow 892-9200, and we have a caller on the line, so caller, go ahead.
Hi, I have a dual question for you. With the current expansion of the Port of Lewiston, ongoing lawsuits blocking over-legal shipments on Highway 12, and Idaho Transportation Department's plans to expand and reroute Highway 95 south of Moscow, what is your position on the possibility of Highway 95 through Moscow becoming an industrial corridor to Alberta tar sands and North Dakota shale oil mining operations, and which Highway 95 rerouting alternative do you prefer?
Okay, and that will go to John Weber first.
Well, I'll answer if I had a choice or if I had a say in the route, I would prefer the northern route, the southern route.
It's an east-west.
Oh, pardon, yeah. Northern route, I'm sorry. I would prefer the east route. The west route is too close to the state of Washington, lots of big problems there. The center route would require a tremendous amount of moving of the earth, and then we would still end up with the same problem that we've got, 6 miles of turning, twisting road. So I would, in answer to that question, I would prefer the route to the east. The as far as dealing with the transportation of things going up and down, I think we've already addressed that as far as the megaloads. And as long as they're legal, they're going to go on.
Okay, that was John Weber, and now Art Betke.
I'd like to tackle the part about will US 95 become a major mobility corridor for heavy industrial use. And I really don't see that happening. Although barge traffic can make it up to Lewiston just fine with extraordinarily large loads, we still have the problem of getting past Moscow to the north through Binewa County and on to the four lanes further north, and that doesn't seem to be a project that's on anyone's radar at the moment. Further, I would think that given the difficulties the large oil companies have had moving large loads through Lewiston and further east, I would think that they would be about ready to start getting their manufacturing of these huge cargoes done in North Dakota or something, or even Alberta, and avoid transshipping them from South Korea at all. Relative to the highway south of town, I just wish the ITD would figure out where in the heck they're going to put that road and take the heat for wherever it winds up.
And that was Art Betke, phone number 892-9200. We're winding down, so it might be your last or almost last chance to get a phone call in for these particular two candidates for Moscow City Council on this program. And I'll have a take a question from my list, and this will go to Art Betke first. Talk a little bit about the role of the Paradise Path Task Force. From what I understand, they're on 1 year probation after there was consideration of dissolving the task force and putting those responsibilities that it has now in the hands of one of two city commissions.
Yeah, I was at that city council meeting when that was considered. And personally, I'm very much in favor of renaming the Paradise Path Task Force into Non-Motorized Vehicular Transportation Commission or some such. Because if the task force is rolled off into Transportation Commission or other, I fear that the non-motorized transportation aspect will be subsumed to the automobile. And what I would like to see is an advocate not only for pathways to separate pedestrians and bikes from motorized vehicles, but I'd also like to see some advocacy for use of bicycles as a whole, and that includes things like covered bike parking in new construction and new establishments around town to help promote people to use their bikes. And through the use of more bike paths, separate kids going to school from vehicular traffic as well.
And that was Art Bettke, now John Weber.
I, on the other hand, think that moving the pathway group in with the Transportation Committee makes good sense. We're still talking transportation. They could be a subcommittee, and I think they could still fulfill their mission by being a subcommittee. And as far as the separating the I'm all for separating as much as you can the kids from motorized transportation. I am not so sure that I am in favor of forcing people to put covered bike parking areas in new developments unless they choose to.
All right. KRFP Moscow, 892-9200. That was John Weber. And the next question will go to John Weber. As long as we're talking about city commissions, what happened with the Farmers Market Advisory Committee? It was essentially dissolved, and in its place, the city created a Farmers Market Commission, and that was on the advice of a consultant who said that maybe the advisory committee had was a little bit too much weighted in favor of the vendors at the Farmers Market. And the Farmers Market Commission, of course, includes representatives of consumers or just regular folks in the city, and also local businesses who might be downtown or affected by the Farmers Market. So the question is, what do you think of the creation of the Farmers Market Commission? And that'll go to John Weber first.
I think that we've got two issues here. The actual vendors that come to the Farmers Market and how much of an input they should have, and then the fact that the Farmers Market has become a social and meeting place, social event and a meeting place for the people of Moscow and the surrounding surrounding community. And with both of those things, they're almost almost at odds with each other as far as the vendors trying to bring in products and then people trying to buy the products and at the same time have a nice pleasant day in downtown Moscow. I think that dissolving it and reducing the amount of input, especially that the out-of-town vendors have, I think that's a good idea.
And that was John Weber, and now Art Bettke.
Yeah, the Farmers Market is a strange chimera that originally started as a place for local farmers and local growers to sell their produce. It's expanded since to arts and crafts, restaurants, food, all manner of other things. And I think the creation of the Farmers Market Commission, as it were, is a good idea in involving these other groups that are also there in addition to the food vendors. Maintain the food vendor presence on this, but also include some of the other people who are also actively participating in the Farmers Market, and even include folks like the rest of the Chamber of Commerce, because for sure, Farmers Market brings in a lot of people who spend money not only to buy the produce and other goods marketed at Farmers Market, but also patronize the stores up and down Main Street and downtown. It needs to be a bigger, more holistic approach than just merely the farmers themselves in this particular case.
All right, that was Art Bethke, and we're winding down now, and I think it's time for closing statements. We are allowing 2 minutes for closing statements from each candidate in the forums this year, and once again, our candidates are Art Bethke and John Weber, and the other two candidates for the three open seats on the Moscow City Council are Rebecca Rod and Walter Steed. The winners will be serving four-year terms and joining Tom Lamar, Dan Karskellen, and Wayne Krause on the City Council. So with that, we'll go to Art Bethke's closing statement for this one-hour program live on the radio.
It's been a quick hour. I like the idea of being elected to City Council because I think I can bring sort of a fact-based scientific approach to consideration of the many issues that come before the Council. A lot of times emotion sweeps in and distracts people from the actual issue at hand. And I would like to take a step back, take out some of the emotion, and study each issue carefully. I've been known to change my mind on the fly in planning and zoning over some issues that I came in feeling certain that I knew what the outcome should be, but I was convinced from listening to testimony by other people that, hey, there's a lot more ideas out here that I had not considered and hadn't thought about, and I've changed my mind on some issues. So I think being on City Council is something I could bring listening ability to, because anytime you have a public hearing, the City Council works for the citizens of this town, and we owe it to them to listen to what they have to say. We're not running the thing, the citizens are. We're just their conduit. And we owe each and every citizen who comes to a public hearing a fair and attentive time at the microphone, as it were, so they can tell us what's on their mind and help us inform our decisions better. And so just changing the basic tone of City Council at times, providing the citizens better input, listening, getting to a rational, fact-based decision on each of the issues that come before us, paying attention to what the citizen commissions bring to us, I think could provide Moscow a much, much better, richer environment with results that are better considered by having the whole number of different threads that can be brought together at the same time to create a better network for all of us.
And that was Art Bethke. And now, John Weber, your two-minute closing statement.
I think what I bring to the council is a time perspective. The amount of years that I've spent here in Moscow, the fact that I was schooled not only at the university but also at the high school and the grade school level, the number of years that I've spent, and the feel of the town that I got when I was growing up and how that has changed as far as the number of people in town, but the feel is still the same. I want to keep it that way. I want to be able to pay for it. And I want to be able to pay for it not in raising taxes necessarily, but by increasing the business, increasing the diversity of the businesses that come to town and welcome them. And I think that as far as dealing with people, I think when I was on the council before, we increased a lot of the opportunities for people to have their opinions be noted, listened to, and considered. And I think we're at this point we're doing a pretty good job with that. And I would hope that by bringing my time perspective and my increase in the idea of bringing new business to Moscow, I think that we have the chance of continuing to keep Moscow the great place that it is to live and work and recreate and enjoy the finer things that living in Moscow brings to all of us.
And that was John Weber. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being part of our candidates forums on the radio. Future candidates forums on Radio Free Moscow include City Council candidates Walter Steed and Rebecca Rod. They'll be in our studios Monday, the 28th at 6:30 p.m. And we've asked and accepted the candidates for mayor will be in our studio on Wednesday, the 30th at 6:30 p.m. So tune in and call in for those. We will continue doing these every year as long as we get participation, because I think it's a great thing to get the candidates on the air and have people be able to ask questions from the comfort of their own home and get some rapid answers. Now, there's another City Council Candidates Forum coming up tomorrow night, and you might want to go to that. That's put on by the Moscow League of Women Voters. It'll be at 7 p.m. at the 1912 Center at East 3rd and Adams Streets in Moscow. So that's another chance to get up to date. Once again, the election is on Tuesday, November 5th. Polls will be open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. at the Latah County Fairgrounds on the east side of Moscow. That is across White Avenue from Safeway. That's the only polling place. However, you can take absentee ballots, or you can file your absentee ballots on Monday through Friday at the Latah County Courthouse between 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. until Friday, November 1st. And we will also be posting the audio of this candidates forum and all the others on Radio Free Moscow's website. And also, we may be broadcasting, by the time we get to the Mayor's Candidates Forum, we may be broadcasting with our new 42-watt interim full-power signal from Paradise Ridge. And if that's the case, you may want to tune in at 90.3 on the FM dial. Of course, we're streaming online as well. This has been KRFP Moscow. Thanks for joining. My name is Lee Robartis. Have a good night, everybody, and Dave's up next to play some music for you in just a moment.